Welcome, everyone, to the Golden State Guide Dog Handlers annual convention meeting, and it's pre-convention in this case, held this day on April 23rd, 2022, from 3:30 to 5:30 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. We're thrilled to have everybody here, members and guests, and we hope we have a fun and informative and exciting day for all. Our first act will be to take attendance and find out who's with us, and then we'll move on to Zoom protocols and some information about our exciting door prize raffle situation today. So just hold for just a moment. What I'm going to do is I'm going to first take attendance of, I don't know, should I do guide dog handlers first or just do the alphabet and whoever's here, non-guide dog or guide dog?
Just do everybody who's here. We know.
Yeah, do everybody.
Okay, yeah, because we all love each other. So that's great.
We're glad they're here.
What we'll do is I'll start. I'll say, okay, last names, A to C. And if your last name begins with A to C, whether you're a member of Golden State or you're joining us as a guest, just chime in and say that you're here. And if you want to say that you're a guest so we can give you extra welcome, that's great. So we'll begin. Anyone whose last name begins with the letters A through C, please speak up at this time.
Acosta, Ruth Ansel, Waver, or Fong were members of Golden State.
Great.
Anyone else?
A through C, last name. All right. Last names beginning with D through F, as in Frank.
Tony Ames.
Diane Deutsch.
Tony and Diane. Excellent. Anyone else?
Nellie Emerson.
Member. Nellie. Hey.
Hi.
Hi. Okay. Last names beginning with the letters G, H, I, J, K.
Linda Johnson.
Gil Johnson.
Sarah Harris. Yes.
Sarah Harris. Hi. And Susan Glass. Some chick named Susan Glass is here. Oh, there's a dog. Yeah, that's right. Okay. Let's see. Last names beginning with L M N O P.
Charlene Ornelas.
Dave Mandel. Guest.
David Mandel. Charlene Ornelas. Welcome.
Pamela Metz. Yep.
On. Pamela Metz, welcome.
Mm-hmm.
Debbie
Linda
Perrell.
I'm sorry, we got two at once. Two people spoke at one.
Debbie did, and I did, Linda Perrell.
Okay, Debbie Overton. Debbie and Linda. Okay.
Which Debbie? It's
Debbie.
Debbie Overton.
Okay.
Oh, thank you. Hi, Debbie.
We know her.
Hi, Debbie.
Hi. Yeah. Hi.
And then Linda Perrell. Okay, QRST. No QRST. How about the end of the alphabet, U through Z?
Frank Welty.
Frank
Welty.
Younger.
Hi. Vita's here.
Vita.
Vivian's here.
Yay.
Judy Wilkinson.
Judy's here. Hey. Anyone else? Oh, there's David Jackson.
David's joined.
We're counting you in on the roll. Very good. Anyone else has joined since we came in, or any guests?
This is Laura Hernandez, guest.
Welcome, Laura. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Delighted to have you. Any other guests?
Of course, Joe Green's here, by the way.
Joe Green is here. Now, how did I miss you before? Because you were talking in the beginning. I just wasn't paying attention, was I?
No, he just forgot his last name started with G. You forget.
All right. Anyone else?
I have 21 people.
You have 21 people. And hey. I was going to do our review of Zoom protocols first. But Vita, because this is so important, do you want to explain a little bit of how these door prizes work and how this is going to go?
Oh, yeah. So as I heard each name, I gave each of you a number. So we have numbers 1 through 21, if anybody else comes in. And then when it's time to do a door prize, I will ask the A lady to do the random number skill. And I just say, give me a number between 1 and 21. And she gives me a number. And that's it. That's the winning number. And then you can choose to either get your $25 door prize for Chewy or for Amazon. And then at the very end, at the end of the program, we're doing one for $50, which Gil Johnson won last year.
Yeah.
Hey, yeah. All right. So we do the other ones kind of midway through?
Whenever you want to call one, if you want to do one before we, you know.
We have the numbers. Do I have mine?
Yeah, you do. You're number two, Bob.
Thank you.
All right.
Okay, so
there's four. So whenever you want to start, I'll leave it up to you.
Okay. I think what we'll do is we'll kind of do it the way they do for the convention, where you pause between things and you call a number, like give a door prize. We'll have some fun with this a little bit. So before we do it, let's ask Phil, if you will please just review for us a little bit about our Zoom protocols, hand raising, calling on, you know, when to mute, just a quick little rundown of that.
Okay. For those of you that are signed in through a telephone, you will mute and unmute using *6. If you want to raise your hand, it's *9. For those of you on Windows machines, mute and unmute is Alt-A, and raise hand is Alt-Y. For those of you on a Mac machine, the mute and unmute is Command-A. And to raise your hand is options.
To raise the hands is command Y.
Actually, my instructions say options Y.
Well, there you go. Options.
Are you using a Mac? Can you correct me if I'm wrong?
I could, but my.
I'm only going by what's written here. I don't use a Mac. So. Yeah.
It is option Y.
Yes, it is.
Thank you. Okay.
My Mac is not working right now, so.
Okay. Okay. So we can repeat these once we get to a point where Susan is asking for hands.
Yeah, and that's going to be quite a bit in the program, and possibly a couple places in business meetings. So that's good, and. As always, you know, if there's some background noise, you know, your dog's chasing your cat around the house, you know, you might want to, you know, or your kids are beating each other up, you can mute and that kind of stuff. And Vita, why don't we do one prize right this minute?
All right. So I'm going to ask her to choose a number between 0 and 22 so we don't miss 1 and 21. Okay. Oh no, Judy, your dog is going to respond. Echo, random number between 0 and 22.
Here's a number between 0 and 22.
Okay. 8. Let's see who's 8. Ruthann.
Hey, Ruthann.
Ruthann Acosta.
She's screaming over here. I guess she's not muted, but she's screaming. Thank you.
All right. She can let me know if she wants Chewy or Amazon.
Okay. Moving on, our next item is review and approval of our February 27th membership meeting minutes, which we sent out this week. There is an error in the title because it says membership committee meeting minutes, and this was a full membership meeting, but that's a small matter. Everything within them is fine. Does anyone have any questions about those minutes before we can make a motion to approve them, then have discussion and move second and discussion and then vote if you want to do it that way. May I have a motion to approve?
I so move. You can hear me.
I'll okay, second Bob that.
And who seconded?
That was David.
Bob firsted it and Vita seconded it.
Vita seconded it. Okay. Are there any discussions or corrections pertaining to these minutes?
No.
All right. Hearing none, all those in favor of accepting the minutes as prepared and submitted signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed? Abstain? Great. Thank you, Bob. Very nicely done. Very, very nicely done.
Susan, we have a hand raised.
Yep. Okay.
She just put it down. Never mind.
Oh, okay. Okay. We also sent the minutes from April 18th last year, and we had actually approved those during the year at one of the other membership meetings. I need a protocol help. Do we need to do that again here? Or are we considered done with those?
No,
we don't.
We approved them.
Okay. They're just here for everybody's edification. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Very good for getting them to us.
Oh, no kidding. She's the best. Yes, you guys are both. Organizations cannot function without superb secretaries. It just doesn't happen. Yeah. So hats off. Number five is treasurer's report. And Vita, anything you want to share with us?
Well, I sent out.
Sent it out.
So I did send out the usual. I did the quarterly report, which was January through March. And then I just sent an update.
Right.
I don't know if you want. I don't know if we need to go through it.
I have read them. Has everyone else? Can we do the same thing? Can we move and accept?
Them. Yeah.
Let's read them.
Why don't I just do a closing balance? Closing balance is $4,736.18. Okay. And the only other things to note is so far I have 14 members for 2023. Thank you so much. Great. So we'll keep calling. I'm answering.
Let me know if you want me to run out on the street and catch a bunch of dogs and people and put them in harness and drag them in.
And
we can harness them.
We do have scholarships, so thank you very much to the people who offered scholarships. It was so wonderful. We were already able to give out one. So, you know, and that information is personal. It doesn't go out to anyone. So please don't be afraid or ashamed to ask for a scholarship.
Absolutely. We're so happy we can do it. It's great. Thank you for the ending balance. And we need to vote this too. Yes.
I move the acceptance of the treasurer's report.
This is Tony. I second it.
Tony seconds. Bob Blues, Tony seconds. All those in favor of accepting treasurer's report signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? Okay. It's a good thing you didn't oppose because I'd make you write the next one. And now we come to an important part of our meeting, director and officer elections. According to our Golden State Guide Dog Handlers, Inc. Constitution, our vice president, treasurer, and one director are elected or reelected in even-numbered years. This means that for this year, Vice President Linda Johnson, Treasurer Vita Zavoli, and Director Tony Ames will run for the reelection. All three have indicated their willingness to remain in office. We can, of course, entertain motions from the floor for other candidates. And since I'm not running, I can conduct these elections. So,
Madam President.
Yes, Mr. Acosta, go ahead.
I'm in trouble. Okay.
What? No.
These three ladies are so magnificent. I can't picture any nominating committee saying no. We'll do that next year. I move these fine ladies be elected by acclamation by this body.
I'd second that. Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, we've got a motion and second. Any discussion?
Yes, objection, Linda. Not that I don't approve of that, but we don't give someone a chance to run for any particular office if we do it that way.
Yes, nobody. I agree.
Okay. Okay.
People should never be afraid of running.
Ashamed of running.
Okay. Okay. And I am fine with that. I'm fine that you put forth the motion and fine that we had the discussion. Let's conduct the process. So let's turn to the office. Yes.
The motion technically the motion and the seconder will have to withdraw the motion.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Are people running? I wasn't clear. They're running from the board.
But it doesn't matter, Bob.
The point is that we have received voices, Linda and Vita, strongly saying we should conduct the election as usual, giving people the opportunity.
Okay, I understand. I withdraw because it's not by acclamation. Thank you.
Right. Okay. And our second then withdraws.
That is correct.
All right. Perfect. Okay. Now parliamentary procedure is where it should be. Excellent. So, for the office of Golden State Vice President, the name of Linda Johnson is placed before us. She has indicated her willingness to run. Are there any nominations from the floor?
Madam Chair, I nominate Linda Johnson just to get it formal if we're going to do it this way. She has to be nominated.
True.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Linda, do you accept?
If she would.
Yes, I do accept. Yes. Thank
All
you.
All right.
Linda, you know, technically, I've got to say, this is the slate. So no one has to, you know, this
There's
is
no
the slate.
There was no nominating committee.
See, what happened to me is I dropped the ball.
I'm sorry.
A nominating committee.
All right.
So
Bob is right.
Then
we do
need.
Sure
we, yeah. That's right. With my acclamation. Yeah.
No, I get it now.
Okay.
So
I nominated Linda. If there's someone else, that's up to the president to call for.
Does anyone else want to place a name in nomination for vice president?
Three times.
Are there any other nominations from the floor? And a third and final time, are there any other nominations from the floor?
Madam President, I move the nominations be closed and that Linda be elected by acclamation.
All right. It's been moved that nominations be closed and Linda is elected by acclamation.
Which Linda?
I'll second it.
Linda Johnson.
Linda with an I.
All right. All those in favor of electing Linda Johnson by acclamation signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All right. Aye. All those opposed? All right, Linda, congratulations. Do you have anything you want to say?
Thank you very much. I really love this organization and I look forward to spending more time on it and being your vice president. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Terrific. All right. We're now moving on to the office of treasurer.
It's a no-brainer.
Do I have to do all these? I'm happy to do it.
It's a no-brainer, but we need someone to
nominate Vita Zavoli.
All right.
Treasurer.
Vita Zavoli, yeah. Do you accept?
Yes.
Okay. It's been first, second, third. Are there any other nominations from the floor? Are there any other nominations from the floor?
Madam President?
Yes.
It's Nelly, and I move that nominations be closed and that Vita be elected by acclamation for the Office of Treasurer.
All right. Second. Moved and seconded. Okay.
We don't need a second for these.
Technically. All those in favor of electing Vita Zavoli as treasurer, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Abstain? Vita, speech time.
All right. Woohoo.
Just going to say thank you. I think I've been treasurer like 8 years or something crazy like that. But I do want to say this. If anyone is interested in stepping up and being treasurer, please work with me. I will train you. We have a good system going now, and, you know, I'd love to train somebody.
We've tried to do that in our chat. It's the hardest position to fill, but if they mentor with you for a year, they could probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They could
do
it.
So, okay.
Yeah.
Thank you, Vita. Thank you for your ongoing, generous hard work and service. And finally, we need to elect a director. Tony Ames.
I nominate Tony Ames.
I'll second it.
Okay, Vita Zavoli nominates Tony Ames. Bob seconds. Are there any other nominations from the floor? Are there any other nominations from the floor? And a third time, are there any other nominations from the floor?
Madam President, I move the nomination be closed and she be elected by acclamation.
Okay.
I second it, Linda.
And that's
okay. Oh, yeah, I guess we don't have to. Sorry.
That's okay. We might as well. Okay. Label, it's always good to have lots of endorsement, you know. So it's been moved and seconded. And all those in favor of electing Tony Ames to the position of director signify by saying aye.
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 All right. Opposed? Can't imagine that. abstentions? All right. Tony, speech.
Yay.
Yay.
All right. Tony.
Speech, Tony.
Okay. Woof, woof, woof.
Thank you, Tony.
I do have a sort of irrelevant comment. We had so many Lindas on one of the committees at our UU church that we just called it a Linda committee.
Oh, that's
five
funny.
Lindas on the same committee.
Wow. Yeah, I was once on a committee with a Susie, a Suzanne, a Suzette, and a Susan. Very strange. Well, this is moving along quickly. I'm delighted. I just want to take this opportunity to thank everyone on our board, everyone in the organization. But this board has the most thoughtful people and people with foresight, people who can see ahead in fog. I would equate my first year here to learning to drive in fog a little bit. And there were always people tapping my shoulders saying, look over there, you're going to need to do this. And I don't mind saying that. I don't see it as a weakness. I rather see it as a strength of the board. So all of you, thank you so much for your kindness, your wisdom, your strength, your knowledge, and all that you give. Really, really appreciate it. We don't get to say thank you enough. I wish I had a thank you cake. Give everybody. We're moving on to committee reports, and these can be fairly brief because they are recorded in minutes and such. Let's go to membership. Nellie, you're here today. Do you want to say anything about what we've been up to this year?
Yes, our membership committee has been pretty active, and one of the things that the membership committee is considering is having a program to talk about the history of the guide dog organization in ACB and CCB, and we are interested in reaching out to new individuals who are thinking about getting a guide dog and who are not too sure if it's for them. And we want to provide support and information for the existing members as well.
Nice. Very, very nicely said. And yeah, we're kind of working on that educational piece and exploring it. We played around with our survey a little bit this year. We're thinking of some new ideas for that. And of course, we all know when we can fundraise again, we'll have all kinds of member incentives. Thank you so much, Nellie. I just wanted to say Christy is a very happy lady right now. I don't know if you read her note. But my heart is with her today. Yeah. That's so wonderful. It's just great. Mm-hmm. On to advocacy. Diane is chair. Diane, would you like to say a few words?
Certainly. We've gotten off to a slow start this year, but there hasn't been much going on. What we would like to do is to start looking for a sponsor for another bill. We'd like to enhance the bill that we already have about guide dog attacks. The problem with not having police involved is that I live in a county where from Kern County is an enormous county. And if you call somebody from the agency that's supposed to take care of things like that, there's two people. from where I live in Tehachapi to Bakersfield is 35 miles. From Tehachapi to Ridgecrest, which is on the other side of the county, is 80 miles. There is no way you will get somebody from animal control to come out and help you if your dog is attacked. It just doesn't happen. My retired guide was attacked, and I called the police department, and a police officer came. And he talked to the man who owned the dog who attacked her, but there wasn't anything he could do about it. He talked to him and told him, you know, you need to keep your dog on a leash, blah, 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 all the rest of the stuff you say. But there's no teeth in this bill, and there need to be consequences for people who don't follow the law. So we're looking to enhance the bill and find someone in the legislature who will sponsor that bill.
Thank you.
And that's about it.
That's an
Susan, I'm it's Vita, sorry.
Yes, come in, yes.
Yeah, Diane, didn't your team also work this year on the San Diego, with the school?
The Oceanside Beach?
Yes, that was it.
Nothing has happened with that. They wanted to turn the beach that was designed specifically for people with disabilities into a dog beach where people could bring their dogs and let them run free. When we read that this dog park that they had, one of the dogs who was playing there killed another dog who was also playing there. Aww. So they closed the park. So Aww. Then they want to turn this beach for people with disabilities, where a lot of kids come, little kids with their parents, into a free-running dog beach. I don't think it will happen, but we haven't heard any more about it.
Mm-hmm. We did send a letter.
A letter.
Yeah. Yes.
Susan and, wrote a letter.
You have a hand raised, Charlene.
Go ahead. Diane, finish your sentence, and then we'll call on Charlene. Get ready to talk,
Susan
Charlene.
Susan wrote a great letter to them. And we haven't heard anything yet, nothing since then.
Okay, Charlene.
That's it.
In talking about the improving the guide attack on a guide dog law, besides the police arriving, we need to have it considered as a 911 call because it can be life-threatening to me and to my dog.
Bet.
If my dog is shook up and I can't function, you know, doesn't function, my life is at jeopardy. So yeah. It not mm-hmm. only needs to have the police, but it needs to be elevated to a 911 call.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Thank you.
I agree with that. We'll remember that when we get somebody to introduce a bill for us. I agree with you. When my dog was attacked, the dog that went after her missed her left eye by a half an inch on either side. We're just lucky that she didn't lose her eye, but she also didn't work for more than a year or two after that because she's absolutely terrified of any dog that's not wearing a harness.
Poor baby.
We know they recognize other guide dogs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But she career changed and she works for my husband now as his dog for PTSD, and she's always right next to him. But I have to tell you, she still tries to walk into Hector's harness and she still stops at curbs. And looks up, Dad, did I do a good job? And did you have something for me?
Of course.
So they don't ever stop doing that, but there's just no way that she could go on working as a guide, which is too bad because she was a good guide.
She turned 15. Bob Acosta.
We have a hand raised.
Bob Acosta.
Thank you. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay. Real quick, one more thing with Oceanside. Is there engaging in a feasibility study? But we have to follow through on that, and we will. I'll send my correspondence to the chairman, and we'll find out where they are with that. Feasibility studies take a little while. That's the last I've heard on it from the city council.
It's the last. It's the last we all heard. And regarding getting local congressional sponsorship, I'm going to look around here, my neck of the woods in the Bay Area, because we've got a few people who tend to be pretty helpful, like Evan Lowe and others. And I'd like to help make that sponsorship happen for the bill. Thank you, Diane. Our next is a quick report from Peer to Peer. Ruth Ann.
She can't unmute, and Linda can help me. Susan will be quick. That we think the April 6th program, which all of us got into problems and solutions with our dogs, was a tremendous success. Those who got recordings who couldn't attend write lovely letters. We appreciate that. We are also featuring Linda Johnson, our vice chair, who is going to engage in a program this summer, part one on anxiety of the person, of us, of the dog user, how we can handle that. And then on September 14th, anxiety with your dog, the actual dog. Mm-hmm. What do you do? So we'll be talking. We're having a meeting June 8th, and we're going to get these programs lined up. Thank you. That's all I have. Ruth Ann asked me to do it because she can't unmute.
Excellent. Excellent. It's been my pleasure to, I think I maybe missed one peer-to-peer meeting all year, and I've really enjoyed how this committee works and the people who come, and we often get people from all over the country. It's really been exciting. So very nice. Programs Committee, I'm chairing that. We've had two programs this spring. About 3 weeks ago, we had a program on self-advocacy and advocacy. It was on a Saturday and had quite a number of attendees from around the country, one person from Canada. Sarah Calhoun joined us. We had another Missouri person and a few New Yorkers. Mary Beth always comes. But anyway, we talked about everything from what gets in the way of advocating, what our fears are, how we're conditioned not to advocate, to how we start advocating on the individual level. And then Margie and Diane spoke about the sunsetting of the California State Guide Dog Board as an advocacy issue. Margie talked a little bit about some of the process for how we get legislators involved for bills and what the journey of a bill is. I don't think I'm speaking out of turn to say that we see this as a foundation advocacy program, and that one thing that your president would like to see in the future, and I hope the committee and the membership would like it as well, I would like us to actually conduct a workshop on Advocacy 101. How do you find your legislators? How do you learn who's in your district? How do you track what they do in the state house? How do you approach them? How do you write letters? There is a path, a template that our hardworking people have laid down for us. And if we follow it, it can open us up to working together all year. And I think we can make use of our technology to make that happen. You know, we always had our Capitol Day, but I think it would be really neat to know, okay, I have a problem in my county, so I go to advocacy and they say, well, and I go find my legislator and I go talk to him. I think a seminar like that with maybe some role playing could be very useful. Just floating this idea, but I hope we can take it forward in that way. Next, if there are not any questions, let's hear from Gil Johnson regarding
This is Gil. I would just like to comment that I thought that the session on advocacy was excellent, and all the presentations really outlined the importance of it and the some of the steps that could be taken to become a better advocate. I thought that was one of our better programs.
Thank you. Thank you. And of course, our other program is coming up this afternoon, which we'll introduce shortly, Things I Wish I Knew Before Getting a Guide Dog, or things and so on. Gil, do you have anything you'd like to say about our news magazine, The Forward, of which we are very proud?
Just that I'm enjoying doing this, and I've been at it now over about 2 years. And, you know, The Forward wouldn't be what it is without the membership sending the articles that they do. And, you know, my job is to tweak them and put them in The Forward and get it sent out. And I'm pleased to do that. And I just encourage everyone to be thinking about, oh, this might be good for the forward. Send it to me, and if I don't think so, I'll nicely tell you why. But I'd like to have more. I've got five already for the next one, but you know we can use more. So I just, and one question that has come up from several people, myself included, is what have people's experience been with medical insurance for dogs? I'm currently in the midst of that with my dog. He had to have cancerous growth removed from his mouth, and it cost me a lot of money. And I don't know if I had signed up for medical insurance sooner, if it would have made any difference. But I'd like to hear, I think it'd be an interesting article if people to hear about people's experience with that.
I've had some experience with that as well, and we'd be very happy to contribute to that article. And that might also be a nice little, lounge topic or so, because there's a lot going on in that field. Insurance can be a catch-22, you know. They don't need it when they're young, but if you wait till they're old, it's too expensive. And
that's right.
Yeah, and
Please give that some thought, and if you have something you'd like to draft, send to me. I'd be glad to see it, or if you have some resources I can turn to, I'd love to do it.
Wonderful, wonderful. Unless anyone has comments, that concludes our business meeting, but I think this would be a good time to have another prize. If our magic prize lady and the A lady are able to do that.
All right. Did we get any new people? Anyone else come in?
Good point.
Yes, Marsha Mackey. I just came in the middle of the business meeting.
Marvelous. Welcome, Marsha.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Marsha, how do you spell your last name, please?
M-A-C-C-H-I.
Okay. And the first name is M-A-R-C-I-A?
No, M-A-R-S-H-A.
Okay.
That's the more Vita, common
we show spelling. 24. We show 24 participants.
I have 22. So
yeah, so two people are missing
somebody?
Out on door prizes.
All right, let me tell you what I have then. I think we have enough time, right? What time?
Oh yeah, we have plenty. We're actually
Okay, here we go. I have Susan, Bob, Joe Green, Linda P, Linda S, Nellie, Frank, Ruth Ann, Tony E. Ames, Diane Deutsch, Linda J, Gil, Sarah, David, Pam, Charlene, Debbie Obregon, Vivian, Judy, David Jackson, Laura, Marsha. So who am I missing?
You don't have yourself,
Jim Blackson. You have him, Jim Blackson.
Jim is here? No.
I didn't hear his name. Jim? I'm sorry.
Are you here, Jim?
I don't think he is.
Vita, you have not put your own name in.
Yeah. That's all right. I'm okay with
no.
that.
No. No. You need to do it.
Your name. No. All right. You're one of the...
All right, 23. I'm putting my name in.
Put your name in, Vita.
So who are we missing?
Okay, so
are we missing?
I'm probably the 24th, the host. But
that's
going to
be a break our host.
And Phil.
There we go.
And Phil.
We'll put your name in, Phil.
You're
a big part of the group. You're
absolutely
here.
Absolutely.
You're here. All right, so let's thank you, Judy. That was very good observation.
Okay.
All right. So
going forward in light of these door prizes, I'll try to keep track of anybody who joins and notify you during breaks.
Thank you, Phil. Thank you. All right. Echo, random number between 0 and 25. That was somebody else's.
That was mine. This what? Is Tony.
Oh, said funny.
Tony. All right. The number is 13, Sarah Harris.
All right.
Sarah.
Hey.
Unlucky number.
Ah, thank you.
Amazon or Chewy?
All right, Sarah.
Oh, Amazon, Chewy. Because I can buy Honey another dress. She just got a new dress today.
Oh, that's fabulous.
She may not be a guide dog, but she's a sweet dog.
That's right. That's right.
She's certainly worthy of her dress.
That's yeah. right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Well, thank you. Well, sure. before we adjourn our business portion of the meeting, does anyone else have any announcement, anything you want to say? But don't go away, because we're going to go right into the program now.
Madam Chair. So,
Madam President, I finally got unmuted.
Hello.
This is Jim Blackstone.
Hey, Jim.
Hi, oh, good. Jim.
There he is. Hey. I knew he was here.
Hey, great.
Madam President.
Yes, Bob.
I know I speak for you when I say we want to thank our great membership for its great support. You know, the CCB only lost, 20 people over this struggle. You know, we feared many people will leave, many people will die. God love them. But we didn't. Our guys are hanging in. They're tough. They're a family. Thank you so much, guys.
That is so true. And there's always this core, you know, and people are just coming. You know, we're finding out all the gifts we can give each other that go beyond funding. I would express the same tenderness to all of you as members that I did to the board. I mean, we all lead each other and help each other in this. And it is just an honor to be a part of this guide dog handlers community, truly is.
And Susan, this is Linda Johnson, and I just want to thank you for the gift of you and your time and your energy and in leading us, and just thank you very much for that.
Amen. Great.
Yeah.
It's my pleasure. I'm learning every day. You know, student of life is what we all are, and I don't want to get philosophical, but anyway.
Susan, it's Vita.
Yes.
Since we're talking about membership, I just want to make it clear that our membership is not only open to guide dog handlers, it's open to anyone. You do not have to have a guide dog or be part of the guide dog life. If you're just interested, you know, feel free to become a member. And it's a good place to start. And I think that's something Joe will tell you. He actually joined the list before he got a dog.
He did.
You
know?
Yeah, that is. And I think Stephanie did as well now. Yeah. That I, you know, so if yeah. you know, if it's something that interests you, or if you just, you know, can't be away from dogs, it's
yeah.
we love it. Yes. Well, we are going to move forward here into our program for the afternoon. And our program is called Things to Know and Things I Wish I Knew Before Getting a Guide Dog. We've percolated this one for over a year. Members asked last November when we were looking at things we could do, they said, let's actually do this as a program. I'm so glad this is being recorded today. We have a panel of four people who will speak to us, and then there'll be time for us to ask questions as well. And the people who are going to speak to us are Charlene Ornelas, Joe Green, Jim Blackston, and Judy Wilkinson. Each brings a unique perspective to the guide dog handling experience. Charlene speaks from a vantage point of having some sight and how that has affected the guide work and the training. Joe is a first-time guide dog handler. Jim weathered a difficult experience through which his dog helped him, and he may or may not want to share that with you. He's also moved on to Texas, so we got to ask him what it's like up there down there. And Judy speaks from the viewpoint of having worked with three dogs and what it's been like to receive one in the wake of COVID. Actually, a couple of you could speak to that and restrictions and just how it has all changed over time. So I'm going to ask each panelist to speak for around 10 minutes. And if there's a volunteer among you who could be timekeeper and just let that person know when they have about a minute left, I guess I can do that. I don't mind. And then when each person has spoken, we'll have 20 minutes or so for questions, maybe a little more if we're running ahead of schedule. Yes.
No, I was just coughing. I'm sorry.
Oh, sorry. Okay. I thought someone wanted to speak. Okay. So why don't we begin with Joe Green, because Joe Green has a first-time dog and joined our list before he even had the dog. Joe, what would you like to share?
Okay, hello. And by the way, you guys are absolutely right. When I was, I've been wanting a guide dog for years. I did go through the process until now. But I came I wanted to hear from a lot of the handlers that are out there as of right now, like you guys, and learn when I can from you. However, there is things that you just didn't, you know, no matter who you speak to, you don't really foresee some of the things. For one, I actually applied back in December 2020, and I drove for and I hadn't been traveling for a while, so because of COVID and everybody was stuck in, and so I had my first mobility thing on FaceTime, and I didn't pass it. I don't know. The guide dog schools, most of them are really, really good, because they actually invited me over to the immersion or my immersion program over at GDB, and I went there with Stephanie, and then I took some additional skills as far as OMI, and then I went back and I did pass it the second time, and I was so excited. But then you know we went on a waiting list, so it's no telling. So February 9th, I was making coffee and I get a call and from GDB, Guide Dogs of the Blind, and they said they found a dog for me. And they said, you have to go to Boring, Oregon, and you have to be ready in 4 days. So I'm like, okay, no Super Bowl, no Valentine's Day with my wife. But that was fine. So I went up there on February the 13th, and I actually got Taylor on February 14th. Number, you know, the things I didn't anticipate, though, is, you know, and I asked myself, why won't he won't relieve on the grass? He only relieves on semen. I don't know. I'm still trying to figure that one out. But the work that's involved, I mean, my wife would tell you, I'm up, I'm a vampire. I'm up all times of night. I was falling asleep at 8:30 because of yeah. I mean, I was going 2-3 miles, and then even mentally, you don't think, because it's not just as a lot of the handlers know, it's not just, the dog doesn't just listen to your speech. She goes by your body, the way you do your body, the way you do your gestures, and you have to put all that together. And and I even found when my instructor was saying, you want me to do your traffic? I said, sure. No, I'll do it. And I was trying, and I just couldn't put it together all at first. I mean, I eventually did, but it was almost like gives you a headache, because you got hold up the posture, your body, your, and then you got to portray confidence in what you're guiding to, because dogs pick up on that, all the little things that that really was my which I didn't really expect. I mean, yeah, you just don't really think about a lot of that, but it's been a great I wouldn't have it no other way. And as far as the new letter, the one that one I can't stand, but we have, you know, that's gonna be, because I might go to convention, I might not, the ACP convention, but now I have to think about that. If I do, if when you travel, you gotta, you're so excited, you don't even think about, well, if I take the train, I gotta, you know, think about where am I gonna relieve Taylor, or those little small things that you just don't think about. Now you do. Waking up in the morning in the rain and going to have to relieve your dog. I'm sure we all know that.
Oh, yeah.
Literally, it rained out here, and I'm like, oh. I mean, that's one thing, the cold, but the rain.
Yeah.
And in some people have to deal with snow. How do you, that's one thing, how do you relieve in the snow? I don't have to deal with it, but those questions you have to ask. But I wouldn't trade anything for the time, because the confidence that I've gained. I mean, I was already a confident traveler, but I'm literally traveling like I did when I was partially sighted. I've even noticed with, even when you, when it was hard to get help with being a cane user, you have to go find people. Now people are coming up to me and asking me, do I need any help? And I don't even need help in some cases. So even just that alone. They changed our gate even when I was leaving Kite Dogs up. And just some regular person like, hey, just come over here. And so the new gate's over here. I'm like, I was thinking, I can't tell you how many airports that they changed, and I literally had to run around find someone to get me over to the new gate. So there is a lot of great things. And then one thing, I just thought of this, if I do go to convention, what about his food? I got a pack of his food. And then knowing that the, you got 50 pounds or whatever to before they charge you a $125 fee. At Southwest, for example, I haven't even thought of it. Just came into my mind. I'd never thought of that. But
you've got one more minute.
Okay.
Just so you know. Yeah.
No problem. Yeah. So it's all those things. So if you're interested in getting a guide, being here is a great place to start, because that's kind of what I did. And I want to thank you, Vita. When she put out on the list, there's over 50 people on the list out here that's rooting for you. I almost had tears in my eyes. Thank you all. You guys are great.
Thank you, Joe. And you just gave me a great idea for some sort of a program, traveling with our dogs in summer, all the things we have to think about, food, getting the transportation forms done. We really need some sort of a powwow meeting where we all talk about this. Because we all have different tips and tricks. And I'm really glad that you brought that up. That's excellent. Thank you ever so much. Charlene, would you like to talk about your experiences?
Sure.
the first thing that would have been nice to have known sooner is that being a partial, I would be able to get a guide dog. I thought I pretty well had to have almost no sight. When I got my first dog, my sight was at 2200, but but I also had a narrow field of vision. So if I'm walking, I don't see anything around my feet. There's a lot of surroundings to me that are, I see as much as a total does because it's totally out of my sight. And so it, I could have benefited from this a lot sooner, but I thought you had to be either, you know, totally blind or almost totally blind in order to get a guide dog and to apply for one. Another thing is, and I don't think they always tell you this at the schools, I don't remember, but I've learned that if you let your elbow go all the way straight, sometimes you have to pull back on the harness a little bit. And unfortunately, if you get let the dog get your arm out and you've almost locked your elbow, you will not be able to bend it because the dog pulling forward when you're trying to bend it back does not work. They got more strength than you do. The one thing that I learned years ago, and they don't teach it anymore, they do teach about watching the dog's weight, where they say if the dog, you have to let out the harness, then your dog has gained too much weight if you let it out a notch or two. Well, by then your dog could be 10, 15, 20 pounds over. But what they used to teach was you feel the hindquarters. And now they tell you also that your dog has to have kind of this hourglass curve in for the stomach, but kind of like how much is that supposed to be? And it's not as noticeable. But what they taught was up on the hindquarters, if you feel those hip bones, if those bones are making you go look for them, it's time to take some weight off of your dog. And if they're saying, you know, yelling at you, go, see, here I am. Your dog is too thin. You need to put a little bit of weight on them. There should be just a slight padding on it. And even on the ribs, you can feel it. There should be a slight padding, not a big whole lot of padding. I've seen people who've told me, oh, I have the biggest dog. And you find out what it is they think big is by weight. And that's not what makes a dog big. That makes the dog fat. And that is not healthy for the dogs as well as for the individuals that have the dog. So that little trick of the hips, I could tell within 5 pounds on my dogs what their weight is. And it's been a real asset for me. I learned something happened to be when I got my home interview. I had a trainer tell me something that was very important to learn. And it's especially as a partial. And I've seen totals do this too, so it's not just partials doing it. Don't second guess your dog. Don't try to think what it should be doing and try to get it to go where you think it should be going. Because if you're a partial, if you start ducking for like a tree branch, you see it coming, or some other object, you know, don't step in and help out, because this may be a time where you did see it, but another time you won't be seeing it. And the dogs don't understand. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. Dogs work with either ors. It's either okay or it's not okay. They don't get degrees of it. So what he told me is to use my dog as if I didn't see at all. And so what I do is if I'm out walking and I think I might see something and I might think I might interfere, I close my eyes. I now have no choice. I get to follow my dog. And the advantage is I know that my dog got me past obstacles that I totally wouldn't know about. But I have let the dog do the duty full time. And I even go through the whole motions of when I approach a curb, I slide my foot to the, you know, all the way up to the curb. I go through the motions, even though I don't need to. I could shortcut and, you know, tell, okay, I'm near the end of the street. I could turn left, but I don't. I do it by precision. I do it as if I didn't see any. And that way, also, if anything ever happened where I would lose the rest of my sight, my dog is still ready for it because my dog isn't anticipating me to visually help out. And Russ Post is the one who told that to me, and he says it's like playing Russian roulette if you start helping out your dog. And so that was a lesson I was very glad I learned, and found that the easiest way sometimes as a partial to not interfere is just simply close your eyes, and it makes you rely on the dog. One of the things too I see, and this isn't as much needing to know in advance, but I see this a lot. People will let their dogs get really excited about seeing people, or people have encouraged their dogs to come and see my dog. Oh, here's the new dog. Let's go see your dog. No, you don't. I'm very strict about the idea that the schools teach you that your dog shouldn't associate with other dogs in harness. And I see where the dog sees somebody and the dog has gone crazy because it's all excited to see somebody. Here's a scenario for you to think about. That is, if you're walking down the street and you don't know John is coming down the street and your dog loves John, and you let the dog get all excited when he sees John, there might be a post or a car between you and John, and your dog's not going to be paying attention. I have a good example of this. This has really enforced it to me. I was crossing a street to see my daughter and two of my grandkids. And I'm hearing them say, hi, grandma, and all that. I've always taught my family and everybody, don't react to my dog until I give permission for my dog to visit. So what happened is I'm crossing the street and a car cut me off in the middle of the crosswalk. Had my dog been thinking about getting to my grandkids, my dog very much could have not noticed that turning car. But my dog didn't think about being released from work yet. So until we got to the other side and I told my dog it was okay to visit, I had her full attention. And it really kind of brings forth the importance of making sure that you don't let your dog, while working, get out of control where it's all so excited, it's not listening to you or really paying attention to you. It's being distracted. That's can be very dangerous and very life-threatening. I've had one of my graduations, a guide dog trainer said what I think guide dogs really do for you a lot, and that gives you mobility without stress. I know I can go anywhere.
Thanks for calling.
And I don't have to know where I am, and I don't need to know all the street names or whatever. All I need to know is where I want to go, kind of where I am, and how to get there from where I am. So all I'm going to do is tell my dogs left, right, forward, and my dogs can do the work, whether it be in Mexico, if it's in Tucson, if it's in San Diego, if it's wherever. My dogs can still do the same work as long as I keep my head together of where I'm needing to go. And I'm hearing sometimes people say, oh, you need to take a cane out and learn a route. Well, if I'm traveling, I'm going to somewhere new, there's no way I can take a cane out and learn my path and learn how to get to where I'm going. I have to just learn how to ask questions, which is something they used to teach too, is if you ask somebody, you're at an intersection, if you say, where am I? And somebody gives you the names of two streets, which street is which? So what they tell you is face one of the streets and say, what street is in front of me? What street is on my left? That way I know which street is which. But the idea that guide dogs give you mobility without stress, I think is such a great thing to keep in mind, because if you start feeling stress working your dog, it's usually one of three things. It's either you're off, you're having a bad day, your dog's off, it's having a bad day, or you're both off. So
about 30 more seconds.
True enough.
If you stop and just kind of analyze what's going on, make sure that everybody's on the right page, and it might be that's the sign that your dog needs to be retired, but it helps you to pick up on those things. So that's
thank
it.
You. Thank you. That was a wonderful and neat contrast. Wonderful. All of these got me thinking back to so many memories. Wow. We're now going to hear from Jim Blackston. Welcome. And thank you for agreeing to speak with us today.
Well, thank you for inviting me to come. I did not solicit this opportunity. Can you all hear me?
Hello? Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah. We can hear you.
No, I did not solicit it at all. I got a call from Susan Glass. I don't even remember whether I talked to you before or not, but we got to talk. But we got to talking about my guide dog Madeira, my second guide, and some experiences I've had. I came to Texas. As my coach told, finally advised me to do at one point, because I talked so much about Texas. She said, "Jim, just jump the cliff and go." And I did. And it was really quite an experience. I can tell you that I would never have done that without Madeira being by my side. It just wouldn't have happened. And she's proved to be a tremendous amount of emotional support. But, you know, I think this is a great opportunity that you're providing. I was in a similar one 6 months ago, and it really worked out really well. So what are the things? Well, there was a lot of things I didn't know when I got my first guide dog, Acura. Some of you probably remember Acura. And I didn't know there would come a day when he would have to be put down. I had adopted him out to a woman. Her name was, what was her name? Bernadette Weissman. She was up in Marin County in Sonoma. And she wrote me an email on a Monday morning and told me that his organs had just broken down overnight. And she taken him to the hospital and had to put him down. And she said, "I'm lying on my sofa now, and I don't know when I'm going to get up, and I'm going to have to tell the kids," because they really loved him. And I sent you all that email, and I know Bob Acosta, if my memory serves me correctly, you did respond. And I really appreciated that. It was such an emotional time for me. Yes, I did have Madeira, but to have that, to have to go through the experience of having a guide dog put down, that was just something emotionally I wasn't prepared for. And so I did it. But anyway, I'm glad that I have Madeira. I got in-home training for her. I was going to go, and I got her, of course, from Guide Dogs for the Blind. I, you know, have both of my dogs from there. And so I was going to go up for training, but there was some horrific fires up in, I don't know, all over Sonoma County and San Rafael, so it wouldn't have been safe to go for training. So they offered some of us to have in-home training if we couldn't go up there, and I chose in-home training. So always remember the day the instructor brought Madeira. I thought it was going to be a male, another male dog, and he said, "No, she's a female." And of course, we had to adopt Acura out for the 10 days that I had training with Madeira. But now, you know, and I know some of you have had more than one dog, but that was quite an experience for me to get a second dog, because I thought that Madeira was going to be just like Acura. And I soon found out that wasn't true. Even in training, I was trying to maneuver her around like you would, kind of like I would a male dog, and trying to push her, you know, to get her to do what I wanted, put her harness on. And at one point, the instructor said, "Jim, you can't push her around. She's a woman." So I'm glad I got a female dog. And, you know, Acura was fantastic. I love him. He was a hard worker. And he liked to play, too. I won't go into that in this scenario here. If Beth Berenson were here, I might do it, because she was one of his favorite people. But having Madeira is just exactly what I needed in coming to Texas. I needed a fresh start. I was having some challenges in California, wasn't getting the support that I needed. So Texas is definitely a much better business environment. I am an insurance agent, both for life and health and annuities, and eventually will be securities as well. but it's much better, in my opinion, doing it here in Texas. It's a great business environment. I have been tempted to come back to California, but when I think about all the taxes I would have to pay, and if I have an assistant, you got to pay $6 per gallon of gas, I'm going to pass for the time being. But Texas has a, you wanted to know what Texas is like. Well, getting used to some of the arrogant Texans is not easy. People are different around here. But I like it. I like the business environment. I've gotten to know a lot of people, and having Madeira at my side is fantastic. She is nurturing. She did help me through a difficult situation. And I never thought this would happen to me, but I did sustain an injury. The streets around here aren't nearly as safe as maybe some of the streets out where you are. And there was one part of a sidewalk. I didn't know that there's these little water meters sticking up out of the sidewalk, 2 or 3 inches. Didn't know that they were there. And, you know, you can't expect your guide dog to see them. My field manager from GDB came out later on, and she looked at the water meters and said, well, that's a tripping hazard. And your dog can't be expected to see them. And she was right. I did take a fall. It broke a couple. Hello?
You're here. It's all right. There was something coming in from another phone. We've got you.
Okay. I did break a couple bones in my knee. I had the presence of mind to get to my chiropractor's office, and I got some treatment from there, and I made it through okay. Trauma is real. I did experience trauma. And if you are having some seminars having to do with trauma this summer, I think that's fantastic, because it's real. It does happen. And I'm fortunate to have a coach to help me get through it, and a support group. I'm doing okay. And Madeira was the biggest support I've ever had. She, you know, as a female, she's very nurturing. She loves her papa very, very much. And I love her. Every time I say dinner, she knows what that word means. Whether it's in the morning or whether it's in the evening, she knows that word. And she's a great guide. We go all over the place. I'm in Allen, Texas, which is 25 miles north of Dallas. I'd always wanted to live in the suburbs. I have traveled on more BART trains and lived near the centers of cities. I think I had enough of it. I wanted to live in the suburbs. Well, I've got it. And, you know, fortunately, we have what's called here Dallas Area Rapid Transit, which is like San Francisco. What do you call it? Those, the cab service you have there, that's paratransit. So they just started this service when I came, shortly after I came here. And it's great, because it's much better than taking Uber or Lyft and paying, you know, really high prices. It's government sponsored. I only pay 25%. You put $500 on your card, I pay them $125. Not a bad deal. So it gets me all over Collin County. And, you know, I came here, I really didn't know anybody at all, but I knew that I needed to make a change. I had heard something in my spirit for years. You got to go to Texas. You got to go to something in Texas. I don't know why, but I finally did. And it was a bold move. It was in the middle of a pandemic, but it's all for the best. Sometimes you just got to go by faith, by what you hear, by what is being said to you, and just trust that things are going to work out on the other side. And they have. I have a dog, and so she has come into play in that regard more than you'll ever know. She helps me to get to know people too. Oh, by the way, she survived that situation last year. She's a trooper. She's a tough little girl. You know, very sweet, but tough. She's strong. But she helps me to get to know people. When you're in a new environment, I live in a place called Larkspur at Twin Creeks. It's for active seniors over 55. It's not an assisted living facility or you know, residential care or anything like that. It's just folks like me who are over 55. Many of them are on Medicare. There's one gentleman here that is 92 years old, but he can still take care of himself. So that's a very different living environment for me. But it's great because you go down there for breakfast. They have a grab-and-go breakfast, and it's part of the my contract.
You've got one more minute, Jim. You're doing great. Only one more.
Okay. Well, anyway, the amenities are. That's why I moved, because of the amenities. Got to get to know people, both men and women, that I would not ever have gotten to know if I had not moved here. And so Madeira helps me out. People know her. I don't let her get too friendly, but she has a few aunties around here that she loves very, very much. And I think that's important for her to have certain friends, but not too many, as long as I maintain control of her. So there's a lot of things I didn't know when I decided to get that the Acura back in 2009. You just have to take the leap of faith and go for it. So that's what I have to say today.
Beautiful. Take the leap of faith and go forth. What a nice way to round that out. Lovely. Very nice. And last but never least, Judy Wilkinson. You've had several dogs and they've helped you through CCB and heaven knows what else. And tell us about that.
Well, thank you, Susan. And hello, everyone. I am the most unlikely person you would have ever imagined to get a guide dog. I was a very good cane user and proud of it. And many people still tell me to this day, they remember that I had said I would never have a guide dog. And I'll explain a little bit about that attitude in a minute. But
Judy, you're breaking up and you're going in and out quite a bit.
Okay. I'm so sorry. This is my line and this happened. So I had said that I had early in my life, I'd been shamed into not getting a guide dog. And if any of you have family members, coworkers, well-meaning friends who are saying, well, you don't need a dog, you're independent. It would take a lot of responsibility and I can help you if it's a family member. Be aware that you're the one in charge of your independence. And I regret that I let that shaming keep me from getting a guide dog for so long. Are people hearing me okay now?
Yes, beautifully now.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah. I want to go on to the next point, and I've mentioned this elsewhere, that no matter what the law says, there are circumstances and realities in our lives that may make having a dog challenging. I had a colleague who announced to me that he wouldn't continue to drive me to school if I had a guide dog. Well, when I contrasted the 25-minute drive with the hour and a half to 2-hour bus ride, I let, you know, the convenience of the ride influence my decision. This is later in my career. So you know, and it was the right decision at the time. I saved a lot of hours that way. But there may be certain things like that in your life that you need to think about that would prevent you from getting a dog, but that might not prevent you forever. Those circumstances might change. I laugh because, wouldn't you know, my first guide dog's name was the same as this man who said I couldn't have a guide dog in his car. So I feel like the guide dog spirit somehow won out. No matter what the ADA says, Title 3 may say that I can take my dog into a hotel, but my two sisters say I can't bring my guide dog into their homes. And, you know, they aren't subject to the ADA. So all of us have circumstances. So you want to check your widest circle and think about the problems and how you will deal with those challenges before you consider getting a dog. What about your colleagues? What about your family? On the one hand, you don't want them bullying you or, you know, making decisions that you wouldn't make. But unfortunately, there are just things you have to consider. And those are some of the sort of the negative sides and the downside of thinking about having a dog. And as, Joe pointed out, our white cane friends gleefully remind us that caring for a dog is much harder than caring for a white cane, especially at 7 o'clock yesterday morning when it was pouring rain here and I had to take my dog out.
Yeah.
And finally, bless their little hearts. These creatures, and Jim has just recounted a sad story, they don't live as long. So prepare to have your heart broken, whether the dogs die or whether you have to retire them. It's neither one is easy. I had a dog, my first dog died of cancer very suddenly. My second dog retired after 11 years of happy work, but it broke my heart and Steve's heart to retire her. We never thought we wouldn't see her again, but because of the pandemic, we never did see her before she passed away at 12 and a half. My third guide dog had behavioral issues, and I had to retire her only 18 months after getting her. And I had to deal with notions of being a failure, with thoughts about what I should have and could have done differently, a lot of guilt that I had to deal with. So there are challenges to the fact that these lovely creatures don't live as long and that we will face losing them. Okay, but now there are some positive things. You go through 2 to 4 weeks of training. You get the biggest bang for your buck after those weeks of training. You have a support system immediately. And probably walking to the plane or to the car to come home from your training, you walked faster than you'd ever walked before. And if you are contemplating getting a dog, that is one of the things you'll notice most. You will walk faster. You may not know every tree or pole or mailbox that's in the path. You'll just zoom right on by them because you've got now a support system to get you on down the road. You get a partner. You become a team. And I think those words are not chosen lightly. A partner is a kind of equality. And even though you are always the leader of the two, it is a partnership. And Charlene brought up this matter. Trust your dog. Trust your dog. Follow your dog. And that partnership where you're making decisions together, where you're working out problems together, my dog may bring me up to a ribbon that's across the path. But she can't tell me what it is. It's only when I reach out with my foot or my hand and I find that ribbon that's blocking the torn up pavement. It took the two of us to discover that. A cane might have found it, but it might have not. So you do become a team. And that team building occurs increasingly over time. Echo and I are a team, and she's only been home with me for 5 weeks. But we will become a better team as the months and years go on. And the teamwork is crucial. I've been having a problem with Echo that she is moving me too far to the right, and I'm falling more than I should. I used to probably just stumble. Now I just flat out fall. But the training staff and I, the training staff at the school, so from time to time on when I'm going on routes that we work all the time, I'm now carrying my cane. I've done this on 2 different routes, So I was able to correct her immediately when I found she was straying too far to the right. And so as a team, she's learned already to move farther to the left when I need her to. And so I want to emphasize this notion of being a team and working together. What else do you get? Just 2 to 4 weeks of training, mind. And you've already got a support system and a team. You get a friend and a buddy. I don't think it's any accident that all of Morris Frank's dogs, he was the founder of the Seeing Eye, were all named Buddy. And you now have a friend and a buddy. You have someone to walk with, to play with, to cuddle with on the bed or the sofa or the floor or the backyard. And you have a friend to comfort you, to cherish you, and to be with you. And finally, you win the lottery and you hit the jackpot because, most important, you get unconditional love. What could be better than that? Thank you.
Well, that was lovely. Thank you, Judy. And so many, so many sweet spots touched in that. It was a beautiful delivery. A lot of presidential practice got you to speak like this, I think. It's wonderful, wonderful. Well, I want to thank Judy, Joe, Jim, Charlene, for sharing your lives and your dogs and your experiences with all of us. And before we go to questions, because that's really important, or comments, I want to observe that this program came together from people within our organization. We are often our best resources, and we can help each other time and time again. And I'm so proud of what we do when we build our programs and we see to our needs. And I'm so proud of everyone at this moment. Thank you ever so much. Phil, this would be the time where you could really help, because I'd like to open for comments or questions. If you have a question and you want to direct it to a particular panelist, please do. If it's to all the panelists, you can say so. And if it's a comment, just because we want to hear from as many of, you know, maybe as we've got about a half hour here and we want to see what people would like to say.
Okay, no hands up yet.
Okay.
I'm sorry, this is Vita. I don't remember how to raise my hand.
Okay, we have a hand raised by David Jackson. But before we do that, if you're on a
Windows
machine, it's Alt Y.
Thank you.
If you're on a Mac, it's Command Y. And if you're on the phone, it's *9.
Hey, everybody.
Several hands up.
This is Linda. I'm going to be rude. Could you do one more freebie before I have to go out the door? I know I can't stay until the end, but
that is rude.
Oh, yeah, let's do that. What you want us okay. to do another prize? Yes. Okay. Why not?
Why not? We had one person join the meeting during the talk. Ending in 442.
Oh, that's Frank.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, I have Frank. I'm there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, Linda. Linda wants to. I'm sorry, Linda. Of course. Yes.
Echo. Random number between 0 and 26.
Here's a number between 0 and 26. It's 11.
All right. It's 11. Linda Johnson.
Oh, wow. That's funny.
All right. Amazon or Chewy?
Woohoo! I will take
bye,
Amazon,
Daddy.
Please.
You got okay. a Linda at least, so that was good. Bye.
Thank you, Linda.
Bye, Linda Perel. Bye-bye.
I'm not very good at running these, am I? I should have remembered. I got a little, put a little button on
your
sleeve.
Good. It's
door prize, door prize. Who's wanting to speak? Was it?
Okay, the first person David? Is David Jackson.
Okay.
So I wanted to say to all of the speakers, that was really good. To Joe, being a first time handler is certainly difficult. I'm on my second dog, but I can tell you that what you're going through, I went through as well. And especially traveling, I did have to figure out how to get the food ready, but I was able to do that. The one thing I do want to say, Joe, and it's going to get better. It will, because as you were talking, and I think Judy will attest to this as well, guess who sidled up to me? I looked down and Iowa was looking at me, and I looked at the time and it was 4:30. Guess what? It's time to eat.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, these dogs know.
Oh, they know. Yeah.
They just are so intelligent. And that's where the trust comes in. It's amazing. It totally is amazing. I liked your comment, Judy, about having somebody there when you have to maybe reach out and hug that particular furry body for reassurance. I can tell you as a student, there are times when I have to reach out and cuddle with Iowa just to get some love, because sometimes it's not always easy being a student. So I want to appreciate all of your comments, you guys. You are a great panel. Thank you very much for listening.
The only thing I want to say is that, no, I am not. Things feel like they're great for me. I just, you have these questions and these things that, but I am just like up in excitement, and I love my doggy every day.
Excellent.
Okay, the next is a telephone number, 610. And Marcia, you'll be next if you want to be prepared.
Yes, hi, you guys. That's the 610. That's me. This is Pam Metz. And thank you, the panelists, for everything you had to say. And Judy, I've had Franklin almost 5 years, and I can't believe I'm hitting 5 years with Franklin. And he'll be seven in July. I got this dog right before Ken died, and he has been my best friend, my companion, and I'm making myself cry. My companion, the love of my life, everything, because he has got me through Ken's hospital stay. He has gotten me through COVID, just the two of us. Everything. Franklin has been right here, and he's actually sitting on my foot because it's 5 o'clock and it's time to eat, and he knows it. But the hardest thing is that I have to get ready to think about retirement for him. He's still working like a champ. He still thinks he works for the DEA. He still thinks he works for the drug division, and he has to sniff out all the drugs in the neighborhood. But his overall guide work is phenomenal when he's not being lazy. But I'm sitting here making myself cry because it is time to start thinking about retirement for him, not for another couple of years, but I'm going to keep him. It's going to be hard, but I will keep him because I just can't let this one go, and it's going to be hard. So thank you, guys. Joe, I understand. I remember being the first time handler, and what am I doing with this little black ball of fur sitting next to me? That was Delancey. But I'm on dog five, and he is awesome. He can be a pain, but which one of us could, be him or me? But he's my heart. This little black dog, well, he's not little. He's 78 pounds. But he's my heart, and he's been with me through thick and thin, kin, death, everything. And so I have to go now. Talk to you guys later.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Pam. And,
Okay, next up is Marcia McKay, and following Marcia will be Tony Eames.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, good, 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 good. I could not help but resonate with Jim Blackston in that he was talking about trauma and stuff like that with his guide, and having been through a huge trauma, yeah, many years ago, but it's still, I still get reminded of it, in which I was whacked by a drunk driver. And it took me a little while to really get used to getting back with my first dog again. And I can't tell you the kind of humor that he has. He was one of these dogs that everything went in the mouth. I mean, whether it's, you know, like, you know, one time, you know, I went to a party and I said, okay, I'll get you chips, I'll get you sodas and everything, but if you want alcohol, you go on your own. I'm not touching it, you know? And I went to a, you know, liquor store to help, you know, to get some sodas and crap. And what does my dog do? He gets a magazine off one of the shelves, and what should it be but a porno mag?
Little doggy.
And I'm going, oh my freaking beep beep, you know. And then of course then another time when he did that, I was getting some groceries preparatory to cooking the evening meal, and my uncle, who was running the store, he was the meat cutter in a butcher shop, you know, he was the butcher shop thing. And what does my dog do? And I didn't realize he was going to do it, but he got me a 2-pound pack of ground round, and everybody was laughing like anything. And I'm going, what the heck? And then I looked at my dog's mouth, and what did he have in his mouth? A 2-pound pack of ground round. And I'm going, well, I guess I'll have to pay for this, because nobody's going to want to have this thing because there's doggy slobber all over it, you know? And
so
so it was funny. Yeah.
Well, I was just gonna say we need to move on for the next questioner, but one of the things, go ahead. What?
No. I just said get. I said, well, I'm gonna have to pay for this because we don't need dog spit all over the thing, and I got that ground round free. I didn't have to pay for it.
So one of the things we learned is that they, just like having kids, they're going to fill our lives with antics. Stuff is going to happen.
Oh, yeah.
Let's see. Who is up next, Phil?
Next is Tony Eames. And okay, then after Tony. That is Vita. Well, it says Frank and Vita.
Okay.
Okay. Am I unmuted?
Yes.
Okay. My dog is, I call her a breedist. She is very picky about who she's going to make friends with. And in my neighborhood, we have dozens of little dogs. She totally ignores them. As far as she's concerned, they're less than valuable. But when I get to physical therapy one day and take off her harness, because I let the staff play with her, and one of the staff members brought his Labrador pet dog, and Adora, like, wow, now here's a real dog. And they had never seen her get so excited before.
I got it.
He's a breedist.
Cute. So Frank.
Oh, it's me.
Yeah, go ahead.
few things. One is several of you brought up responsibility. And for those of you who are maybe considering getting a dog or you're new here, it is a big responsibility. I don't want anybody to think that you get a dog and you know, they just work. There is time when they don't work and they need to play and they need downtime. They need to be fed. They need to be taken to the vet. Yep. They need, you know, it is a responsibility to take into your life. And you know, there's routine that needs to happen. That's number one. Number two, I wanted to say that the first year with your dog is what I learned in training was that's the time you become a team. It can easily take up to a year to really feel that team effort. Because Amen. Remember, yeah, first you learn in a school, but you're in this school setting. You're in a totally different setting. Then you come home and they have to relearn your routine, where you go, what you do, what we do when we get to that place. You know, it takes a while and we need to be patient with them. We really do. And then I wanted to tell Joe that at ACB, there is a company every year that will order dog food for you and have it ready for you at the hotel. If you choose to go that route and rather than bring your own food. I haven't seen it advertised yet this year, but they usually do it every year. So, and then the last thing is I'm going to speak for Frank here. Frank's real issue with getting a dog, to be perfectly honest, was picking up the poop. He was so nervous of, okay, oh, ick, I can't do that, you know. So if that's like not a concern, but something, you know, that you're thinking about, ask someone who has a dog, how do they pick up their poop? What is it that they learn in school to do? And maybe you can pick it up one day just to, you know, to realize it's really not that bad. So that was it. That's what I wanted to say.
Right. It is not that bad.
I have actually, this is Susan, and I have actually transferred the poop picking up method from my dog to my horse. I can use the same bags to pick up something that happens in the aisle and get it to a wheelbarrow. It's wonderful. And you just get used to doing these things, you know, it's just your baby.
It's just something that's natural and that all creatures do it. In this case, you just have a creature that you need to take care of. And after a while, it just becomes natural. Yep. It just becomes something, it becomes routine. So once you do it a couple of times, it's automatic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I might just say that was an issue I had the first when I got Anchor, how am I going to pick up his poop? And, you know, once I started, you learned how to do it without a big deal. Yeah. And it really isn't at all. I mean, it's a kind of thing that blind people have to do with their dogs and even sighted people too. So it does become natural. It becomes just something that I don't even think about because she can't do it herself. I have to do it for her. And I might want to just comment, you know, Judy made a very beautiful presentation about partnership. She, Madeira, is my partner. She is my partner. I wouldn't have come here to Texas without having a partner. And we are joined at the hip. I'm the leader of the team, but we are here together in this venture. And that's what you get with a guide dog. It isn't just just an animal that's going to guide you around, but I'm her cheerleader. We're in this together. We are partners.
And it's a given that you'll step in it once in a while too, by the way.
Yeah, especially at a convention.
Yeah, yeah. Yes.
You haven't been to the convention where they have the big
big relieving areas.
No.
And people are doing their best, but somebody doesn't pick up something and your shoe does. And man, it's no good. And and my dog hates the relieving areas. She said, I'm not going in that. And so I have to go find her another spot. It's very funny. Yeah. Do you have any more hands?
No hands at the moment.
Okay. Okay. Well, how about some more prizes?
Yeah.
Why not? That out. Yeah.
All right. Okay. So echo random number between 0 and 25.
Here's a number between 0 and 25. It's 4.
4. Let's see. Linda P. Oh my gosh.
Oh, no. she wanted it.
I feel like we should give it to her because she was here for most of it. No. No.
She's not here.
She's not here. You're right. All right.
No, all right. Awesome, but no.
Echo, random number between 1 and 25.
Here's the number between 1 and 25.
It's 24.
No.
Wait, who was that? Because
that was mine, said 24.
I have to do it again because I didn't hear what this one said. Echo, random number between 1 and 25.
Here's a number between
1 and 25.
It's 1.
All right, 18. Oh, that's someone who came in later. Vivian.
Yay.
Great.
Vivian, Amazon or Chewy?
Come claim your prize.
Can you unmute, Vivian?
Okay, finally, I'm here.
Amazon or Chewy, Vivian?
Amazon.
All right.
Great.
Okay. Great. Should I do the last one?
Yep. Let's see where our last one is.
Cross your fingers, toes, whatever you need.
Pause.
Taylor, cross your fingers and toes.
Cross your paws. Yeah.
Echo.
Random number between 1 and 25.
Here's a number between 1 and 25. It's 16.
All right, 16. Charlene. All right, Charlene, one of our speakers. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yay. All right, Amazon or Chewy, Charlene?
I'll take Chewy.
All right, yeah. Hey, Bob, we didn't get from Ruth Ann, Amazon or Chewy?
Ruth Ann wants a Chewy, please.
Okay.
Right.
And just
Joe, you were great today. Great
job.
Yeah. All of you guys were great.
Okay. Yeah. Something really quick is for cleaning up after the dogs. If you put your foot, whichever one you want to put there, near the back end when they're first starting to circle or whatever they do to indicate that they're going to go, put close and then so that when they do drop it, it should be in front of your toes and it works really well.
Good tip. Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is, if I have to look around too much, I'll take the bag and I'll squeeze it just to push everything together a little bit so it doesn't drop back out of the bag and I don't know about it. And the other nice thing about cleaning up is I now know what kind of my stool my dog had is. Is it the normal amount? Is it loose? Is it firm?
Right,
is it what it should be? Mm-hmm. I got all kinds of information because I cleaned up my dog's poo.
Yep.
Right. Can I say something real quick about dog? This is Pam. Dog poo. Always, but they crack me up. Oh, picking up dog poo. I spent 20-something years working in nursing, cleaning up after patients, people. Dog poo is nothing. Put a bag on your hand, bend over, and pick it up. They only eat one thing. They don't eat 50 different things a day. They eat one thing, okay? Dogs are so much easier to clean up after.
Not take a lot of medications that get into bad smells, too.
May I comment on the poop?
Yeah,
yes, sir.
I think puppy raisers should learn to trail the dog's back, okay? My Ruth Ann's dog, Egan, They didn't. And he'd walk all over the place and said, would you stand still so I can find you? I mean, I want to know. Yes, I agree. The back foot can be interesting. Sometimes the dog hits your shoe like my dog Rascal did with a poop. That was exciting. But I for sure, if I'm not sure, I trail the back and take another step back slightly and then come forward when he's done it. But the puppy raisers, and I want to say another thing, they use their eyes too much. Yes, they look at them. No, they got to think blind. They got to think, I'll put a blindfold on the call the dog. And Ruth Ann had a puppy raiser, outstanding, never spoke to her. She didn't have to. She glared at her. She did this. Well, Misty figured out we were blind in 2 weeks and raised hell for 8 years. Thank you.
Oh, my.